You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody. We have our third and final Paul on the program tonight. This has been the Better Call Paul show, all Paul, all the time. First hour, Paul Angel, the editor-in-chief of the Barnes Review. Last hour, popular commentator, Paul Ramsey, Ramsey Paul himself in the second hour. And now, one of my dear good friends, Paul Fromm, a man who is heavily in the rotation here. He is a very much a regular guest, one of the most interviewed guests we've had, and for good reason, of course, and one of the guests who's been appearing since the very, very beginning. The first year we were on the air, we have been talking with Paul the whole ride here on TPC, and he's back with us again for another powerhouse broadcast. Paul is, of course, the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression. Paul, how are things up in Canada tonight, my friend?
Well, tense and divided as usual.
You know,
there's been an ongoing attack on traditional Canada under the present government. Justin Trudeau bristled when he was first made Liberal Party leader back about a decade ago at an expression called old stock Canadians, and he hates the European founding settler people of this country, and he really detests them. He doesn't even like that term, and of course he's continued the immigration policy of several of his predecessors, which is to replace us. We will be a minority probably by 2050, so the people who built this country will have been replaced by immigration. But he also wants to discredit traditional Canada, and he is the greatest man of apologies ever was. He apologizes for everything, but he never apologizes for what he's done. He's always apologizing for previous events. Well, he has a minister of diversity. Yeah, honest to goodness, we actually have that. A minister of diversity. Well, he's pretty diverse, this minister. He's a Muslim. He's a refugee from Somalia. He's the former president of the Canadian Somali Association. And as a real kick in the tender parts to Canada, Justin Trudeau made him our Minister of Immigration. That back in 2016. Yeah, so the guy who's supposed to be the gatekeeper is himself an active immigration lobbyist. But anyway, he could completely messed up on that, but now he's Minister of Diversity, and he his department has funded to the tune of about $250,000 a booklet about fighting racism in the schools, and it's put out by a very, very anti-free speech group called the Canadian Anti-Hate Network. So this booklet is supposed to help teachers and students fight hate in the school. Well, it has nothing to do with hate. There's nothing in there about radical Muslims wanting to, hijack things or so on. There's nothing there about radical environmentalists who commit acts of terror. It's all about the populist movement. So if a student expresses support for Donald Trump, that student, they say, should be monitored and investigated. Students are urged to rat on other students to a responsible authority. That would be a left-wing teacher. And then they condemn, this book that says, that Canada's flag, which was our flag officially from 1965, the old red ensign, under which our soldiers fought in World Wars I, II, and Korea, is a hate symbol. So the red ensign is a hate symbol. Well, ironically, when they changed the flag in 1965, they didn't actually repeal the old flag. So the red ensign still is the flag of Canada, although more usually they fly the new flag, which is the you know, the true red bars, the red maple leaf on a white background. But Mr. Husson, Ahmed Husson, he's the Minister of Diversity, you know, so detests old stock Canadians or the European founding settler people, they would actually condemn our symbol as a hate symbol. Well, that has actually, thank heavens, created quite a bit of controversy. And we had a protest outside of his constituency office last week, and I know some veterans have had protests, and you know, this is beginning to backfire. But we really have a matter of hatred. The globalists hate us. They hate our traditions, and it's almost laughable. But over the weekend, the trust fund kid was down in Nova Scotia. That's our prime minister. He is always apologizing to privileged minorities. So this time he was apologizing to the descendants of people who'd been in the 3rd regiment, which were composed entirely of Negroes, and not quite engineering, but they worked in construction. They didn't really carry a rifle and shoot at the enemy. And you might ask, well, what will he be apologizing for? Well, apparently in the First World War, there weren't very many blacks in Canada. You know, you got them all. But they weren't really considered fit for military service. So if they did show up at a recruiter's office, generally they weren't accepted. Nevertheless, they filled an entire battalion of almost 700 men with these people. But anyway, Trudeau was down there apologizing. And you see, one of the problems with all these apologies undermines people's self-respect if you're a traditional Canadian. You know, I mean, anything our ancestors ever did seemed to have been wrong. And really what they'd like you to take away from this is, look, you're not worth preserving. So, okay, yeah, sure, you're being replaced, but that's probably a good thing. I mean, your people never did anything good anyway. And that is the poisonous message that all these apologies end up conveying. I've always said he doesn't have the right to apologize for the actions of previous governments. He can only apologize for what he's done.
I want to pick up on this. Paul Fromm, the great Paul Fromm, is making light work for me this hour, filling the program and that segment especially with fantastic content. And I've got a couple of comments to make in response to what we just heard from Paul, and we'll be back with him. We'll all be together right after this. Stay tuned.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Welcome back, everybody. The All Paul Show is about to come to a conclusion with our third and final Paul of the night, and boy, hard to argue we didn't save the best for last. We love Paul Fromm, and he has been a mainstay guest since the very inception of this broadcast. Always a fun time when we have Paul on, and I always like to take a peek and get his take on what's going on north of the border. Paul, if you follow Paul Fromm on Twitter, and we'll have him up tonight at the promo for tonight's program, you can follow him on there. He is out in the streets every day. He can speak to hundreds of people. He can be there with a handful of people. He is one of the most tireless street activists that I've ever known in my life. I don't know of anybody that's taken to the street more. Always dressed well, always looking good, always armed with a potent message and a bullhorn. And Paul Fromm is always out there, and just a big fan of his style, his work, and the way he conveys the message. But you were talking a moment ago, Paul, about Justin Trudeau's incessant apologies. And I can remember talking to you a couple of years ago, maybe a few years ago now, they all do blend together after all, but there was a time when there was it was a state function, it was a state-sanctioned event. Justin Trudeau was going to be officially apologizing to homosexuals on behalf of the nation of Canada, on behalf of the Canadian government and all Canadians. He was going to do this publicly televised, a highly promoted apology to which you could buy tickets to. They were actually selling tickets to the general public. You could be a spectator and buy a ticket to watch his apology in person. That's how bad Trudeau is. That's just one example. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. I don't think you have any moral authority or right to apologize for somebody else. But of course, you have an obligation if you've done something wrong to apologize for what you've done. Well, Trudeau back in February not suspended, basically invoked what used to be the War Measures Act. It's now called the Emergency Act. But this stripped us of our rights. It allowed them to seize and steal bank accounts and so on. Now, this was done for the flimsiest of reasons. There was no national security problem. There was the truckers' convoy and protest, but this was just a way to try to smash them. Now, that's something Trudeau did do, and he should apologize for, but he won't. Meanwhile, he is making these phony apologies for things that happened generations in the past.
Paul, let me ask you this while we're on this topic, because, of course, you're hitting the nail straight here, as Keith Alexander says. But I was looking back on your past appearances, and you were with us three times in the month of February, which was just really unprecedented for us. And I remember that. And that was, of course, during the Great Canadian Truckers Strike. And You were on February the 5th, the broadcast of February the 19th, and February the 26th, that this thing continued to evolve and there would be new things happening that just demanded that we have you back on. And so when we went into our March Around the World tour the following month, we had Remy Tremblay represent Canada just to give you a break because we were wearing you out in February talking with your coverage of the trucker strike, which just made for riveting listening every night. Is that spirit still? I mean, obviously that manifestation of our people's resistance has come and gone. That the trucker strike is not still active, but is that spirit still active? Do you still feel as though that there is a growing resistance to this in Canada amongst our people?
Oh yes, just because you've not seen it on the fake news media doesn't mean it isn't happening. There continue to be protests in major cities across the country every weekend. I was with one in downtown Toronto on Saturday. The issues have changed slightly. Some of the restrictions and mandates are being lifted. That's true, but they haven't all. And these are basically freedom rallies. People sense that on so many different levels, our liberties are under attack. And the protests haven't made the big, the international news because they're not as large as they were, but they're still there. And on July 1st, which is our national holiday or Dominion Day, there was a large rally in Ottawa, despite the fact that they declared virtually a police state. They wouldn't allow vehicles in parts of downtown Ottawa. There were all sorts of restrictions on pedestrians, where the police were threatening that they would be charging any expressions of any hateful expressions directed at the privileged minorities, coloreds, the LGBTQ crowd, etc. And if it ever was in doubt, this made it quite clear that what we're dealing with is political policing, and that's what it is, political policing. So, and that came, the protest came off well, no trouble, and it could, in contrast to what people have been told, that these populists are dangerous, and there could be violence. They're always suggesting there could be violence, but there wasn't. The protests continue, and that's the really encouraging and amazing thing.
I had seen a poll. Now, we have been talking about these polls almost to the point of exhaustion here in America about how the Trump base, the Republican base, has totally... I know I use the same term to do this, and so at some point, repetition, you have to be repetitious in order to convey it to each guest that we're having what we're talking about, but that the Trump base is radicalizing in the best sense of the word, that upwards of 60% plus now of the Republican voters here in this country, which is, of course, I think, Trump got 60 million votes in 2020, so 60% of 60 million or whatever that is. You're talking about tens of millions of people here that now believe that there is a great replacement going on, that political parties and the powers that be and the different people in control of our various institutions are purposefully replacing whites on this continent in favor of non-whites who will more likely vote Democratic. And I saw a poll of Canadians. Now, I don't know how accurate this is, but it was printed in a so-called mainstream or establishment press organ that something close to 40% of Canadians believe that. Does that surprise you that it's that high? You think of Canada not necessarily being as aware of this, because outside of Toronto and some of the other cities in the hinterland, it's still 100% white. In America, the replacement is much more real because our overall portion of the population is reaching, close to 50% now. Canada's a little bit better. But you still have these polls that are suggesting that Canadians are seeing this too, and they're not seeing it favorably.
Yeah, this is a really interesting thing. Yeah, that poll found 37% understand an aspect of the Great Replacement, and that is that there is an elite that are bringing in immigrants to replace the European founding settler people and to vote for them. Well, that is an aspect of it. That's not the whole of the Great Replacement understanding. But I frankly don't think it might be true in the States, but that's not the primary motive of the replacement. The replacement is to get rid of us. That the newcomers might vote for the Democrats, or in Canada the Liberals, and that's good. But the major thing is our replacement, the cold-blooded replacement. Yes, I'm very encouraged, and you wouldn't believe the hysteria on the part of the chattering classes over the results of that poll. They always call this they always dismiss it as a conspiracy theory. It's not a theory. That's something I point out at every opportunity. A theory is an attempt to explain reality. This is not an attempt. This is the reality. The reality is the population makeup is being changed by immigration policy. And this is a policy that's voted on by our elected leaders, and it must be what they intend.
I'll tell you what, though, I do believe the poll, and I'm encouraged to see that it has crossed into Canada, and that millions upon millions of Canadians are seeing the truth for what it is, and a big part of that has been the work of Paul Fromm. I'll tell you, if we ever turn a corner, it's people like Paul that have hastened the day. We'll be right back.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is taking a victory lap on the bipartisan gun safety bill that he recently signed into law.
This has taken too long with too much of a trail of bloodshed and carnage, but lives will be saved today and tomorrow.
The bill includes expansions to the background check review process, as well as grants for states to implement critical intervention programs. It also backs mental health services for communities and schools. The Texas Department of Public Safety says the Uvalde County District Attorney is preventing the release of a hallway video from a recent school shooting. The Texas House Special Committee investigating the shooting at Robb Elementary School wants the 77 minutes of video showing the police response to the shooting made available for public viewing. USA Radio News.
This is an important notice to consumers facing $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or other unsecured debt. You're not required to pay it all back because there are special programs now in effect that will significantly reduce the amount you will owe if you qualify. This is not bankruptcy or a debt consolidation loan. These programs, which the credit card companies like to keep secret, exist to aid American consumers struggling with overwhelming credit card debt by offering tremendous savings and real debt relief. Accredited Debt Relief has established a special hotline for you to call and learn what savings you qualify for. They've helped qualify consumers with over $1 billion in debt and are A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. So don't wait. Get the relief you need during these hard economic times. For this free information, call the Accredited Debt Relief Hotline now. Call 800-279-1717. 800-279-1717. That's 800-279-1717.
Firefighters are continuing to work to protect giant sequoias in Yosemite National Park. With the latest, here's USA Radio Network's Lance Pry from our West Coast News Bureau.
A wildfire in Yosemite National Park that's threatening some of the world's oldest giant sequoia trees has triggered evacuation orders after growing fivefold over the weekend. The Washburn Fire started last Thursday and has burned at least 2,044 acres by Sunday evening. Nancy Philippe, a Yosemite Fire Information spokesperson, Sunday.
It looks pretty scary, and we're going full force on our suppression tactics.
Several parts of the United States are dealing with record-breaking heat due to a heat dome. At least 10 records were broken across the southwest and central United States over the weekend. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, temperatures hit 105 degrees, surpassing a record that was over 20 years old. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back, everybody. I have told you recently that it has been on my mind more and more. We had such a good time doing this with at the League of the South conference last year. I think we teamed up to David Duke and Michael Hill and Sam Dixon and Brad Griffin, and I just kind of sat back and listened, and I was like, wow, you know, when you have some regular guests who can get on, we heard it last week from the show in South Carolina, people there in the audience, it was just, it's really good. It's really good to just kind of step back and let talented people take the program for a segment or two. And I want to start doing that a little bit more. So you've also heard me share the story with you before that I first came to know Paul from, my longtime friend and a longtime guest, at a meeting, at a conference in New Orleans, Louisiana, in 2004, a conference, of course, hosted by David Duke. That's where I first met Paul. David and Paul had already been longtime friends long before I entered into the scene, but it was at that time that I met them both for the first time in person. And with that being said, I thought it would be fun to add David Duke to the conversation we're having right now with Paul Fromm. So here he is now. David, welcome back.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and I just want to give my best greetings and thanks to the work of Paul Fromm over these many decades. He's been an old friend, as you have been, and it's amazing how we share some of the same friends. He's been a great champion for true human rights, for the Canadian people, for the European people, and truly for all humanity, because he's been one of the few who've stood up very powerfully and truthfully and forcefully in every sort of legal and proper manner against the real racists that have so much power in the world today, these Jewish racists who have the ultimate destruction of human rights, who led us into these horrific wars that are really destroying really beautiful parts of this world and the beautiful people who created the greatness of Canada and America and Europe and enabled the people of Europe to also give so much beauty to the world, so much art, literature, music, architecture, science, understanding, and really the pursuit of true human rights. So I just want to just start that off by just saying, Paul, it's just such an honor to know you as a lifelong friend. And that's just about true. It's been so many decades now that I've known you. And I think the world of you came to my conferences way, way back early when we did our Euro conferences. And even before then, I knew you. And I just want to say it's really an honor for you to be my friend. And I hope that, and I know that we'll always remain friends as long as we live on this earth.
Well, my feeling is absolutely mutual of being a huge admirer of your books, your political stands, your runs for public office, and your tireless and informative campaigning. I think that your various election campaigns have informed and brought together a lot of people, and that's a huge accomplishment.
David,
yeah,
we're
both lucky. I was going to say one thing about you too, James, before we go further. I know that
Sure. You're
a very modest guy, but the thing is, we both of us, I know, because he's mentioned many times your great work and your incredible positive effect on everything, and you're a young man, and it's really a comfort to me to know, as I get a little older now, who knows how much longer we have to be on this earth, but to know that people like yourself, as courageous as you are, as smart as you are, and as dedicated you are there to carry on for the people of the likes of myself and Paul Fromm. So thank you so much for what you're doing too.
Well, thank you for saying that, David. And, you know, I appreciate you still calling me young now that I'm in my 40s. I'm two decades older than I was when we first met, that's for sure. But I'll tell you this.
Just a little tadpole. You're just a little whippersnapper compared to Paul and I.
Well, I'll tell you, it is great to be able to share with the audience the fact that as men and as people who go out and fight for a greater cause, a cause greater than ourselves, that we can share this brotherly affection for one another. And it's something, you listen, you do this for each other. You're doing this for your race. You're doing this for your family. You're doing this for your brother. And it's really a privilege. And certainly a pleasure to be able to have people on that have such a mutual respect. And that's a respect that can only be earned by having walked through the crucible, which, of course, you two have done many, many times. Every day you're there in that fiery furnace. And anyway, it's an honor. I mean, all of that, everything y'all said about each other, it goes back from me to y'all, and you know that. And that's
we feel the same way about you as we feel about each other, for sure. And we're so happy that you're carrying on this work, and we're all still doing work. Paul's very active. I'm doing work, but
yeah, we're
glad to see people like you coming along and really making an exceptional effort for our cause.
Every day. Every day you're doing it. Y'all are still doing it at a very high level. I was talking about Paul. Every time I look on his Twitter, he's on the street with a bullhorn in his hand. And so he is out there in the public and on the airwaves and everywhere else. But I guess I should just make this observation that for as many times as you have both been on this program, I believe that this is the first time that we've actually all talked together since those 05 conferences. I think this is the first time we've probably all shared in a conversation together as many times as we've talked to one another.
That's 17 years ago. Can you imagine how time goes by fast, so fast, right?
It does go by fast. And I know, you know, of course, David, it goes by too. It's scarily fast now. But, I we're talking to Paul about his activism and what's going on in Canada. And when I was talking to you during a break just a moment ago off the air, you were talking about a situation regarding farming in Canada, I believe?
Yeah, the farmers are just tremendously resisting, and the same thing's true in the Netherlands. And what these Jewish globalists are doing now is they're really going against the very fundamentals of our society. And you know, I have no problem with the idea of preserving nature and making sure that look at the scandal that Canada had of these PCBs and these other plastics going into the water where we're having children born sexually dimorphous, that, you know, the boys were XY chromosome boys were being born that looked like girls and vice versa because of the mutations and the causes of this plastic in the water. So we got to clean our water. We got to stop the plastic poisoning of our oceans. We got to stop the burning of the Amazon forest and all these other things that are happening to this world. But at the same time, we've got to realize that these climate objectives in terms of fossil fuels are really part of the process of destroying our freedoms. And now they're even going against cows. And as you know, I'm a very strong advocate for eating meat. And in fact, our ancestors ate meat. In the 3 million years of the most precise human evolution, we evolved eating meat. In fact, that's one of the reasons why we became what we are today in terms of our brain capability, our intelligence, and even developing the tools that we had to do for hunting was so critical. Our ancestors were hunters. And they don't want us to eat meat. They want us to eat this fake meat, which is destructive and damaging, and these seed oils, which so damage us rather than eating the traditional food of our ancestors. And so now they're going against our farmers and truly our ranchers, and they're saying that, oh, all these cows and all that are dangerous. Yet we had an earth that really came of age with billions upon billions of animals. In fact, we can remember a time just in our Western civilization when our woods were full of animals, and there were so many parts of this earth that were just, you know, with billions upon billions of animals. In America, we had hundreds of millions of buffalo roaming, more than that probably. And we had great mammoths that roamed the earth, and that didn't cause a destruction of the environment. It actually created, in fact, not only did it feed our people and grow humanity, but it also, you know, preserved the beauty of this world. And now we've got a terrible crime going on trying to get our people not to eat meat. They're making our people sick. They're making our people weak. They're making men effeminate without getting the proper, and women, not women anymore. They're doing this, I think, as part of the plan because they want us weak. And that's how the people who are in the elite can control us.
Well, you know, I have some supporters. In fact, one of our most generous supporters of all time is a Canadian, and we know some Canadian farmers. And so what's going on up there? They're good people, hardy people. What's going on with regards to the situation David's talking about, Paul?
Well, I think the government would like to follow the government of the Netherlands, which they have, both governments have bought on completely to this global warming nonsense, which is, you know, it's scientifically a complete crock. If anything, we may be entering another cooling period, not a warming period, but supposedly to forestall that, where they want to create a lot less carbon dioxide, which is often generated by burning fossil fuels and so on. Carbon dioxide, our prime minister says, is pollutant. It's not. It's just the opposite. Plants create, use carbon dioxide to make to photosynthesis to create sugar, starch, right, to create life. But I think what it is that they like to reduce the amount of nitrogen in fertilizer, and farmers are up in arms. They need fertilizer.
Hold on right there, Paul. We're going to come back first to Paul Fromm and then David Duke as well. And we're going to give you all the contact information so you can support these two fantastic heroes and legends for our people. Got them for both for one more second. Stay tuned. American Freedom News is your daily one-stop website that will keep you fully informed. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of the big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as it provides truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first and in the historic American nation. Many Americans are finally waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America and Western civilization can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Welcome back. I've talked to both of these living legends innumerable times over the years, but this is the first time the three of us have all talked together in about 17 years, and it's really fun to be able to do something like this, a little quirk on an otherwise routine, and I don't mean that in a negative way. Any program here is a good one, and routine is just fine with us, but a little twist on it and a fun one, I think. So, of course, be sure to support their work, DavidDuke.com for Dr. Duke. And for Paul Fromm, if you just go to the top of my Twitter handle, at JamesEdwardsTPC, you'll see the promotion of tonight's broadcast, and you can switch over and be sure to follow Paul there at Twitter. He is at From Paul, so his name backwards, last name first name last, at From Paul, and there you can link over to his wonderful organization's internet headquarters for the Canadian Association for Free Expression. So, Paul, what I'd like to ask you to do is continue the conversation. If you have any other comments on the topic that David had brought to the table a moment ago, please finish up your thoughts, and then I'll let you toss it directly back to David, and y'all continue in this exchange.
Yeah, I think really... the pattern is being set by what's happened in the Netherlands. The government wants to make fertilizers less powerful by reducing the nitrogen content. Farmers are up in arms. We are able to feed the number of people we are, largely because of modern methods, fertilizer, and so on. The Dutch farmers are launching huge protests that could well shut down large parts of the country. And should they, and there's talk that they might be going to try that in Canada. If they do, there will be huge protests. A lot of the people who came out for freedom for the truckers' freedom convoy will be backing the farmers. There's a new spirit among the populist resistance in Canada.
Yeah. I got a comment for you, Paul. I agree with everything you said. I think also it's so important to note that a lot of these fundamental, see, all these narratives are created, just like the narrative of what fascism is, or they talk about fascism or communism or racism and all these things. It's just a false narrative. And when you talk about the environment, even if what they say is true, that the climate is warming, right? Even if that were true, the truth is that the responsibility for this is certainly, by their own data, is certainly not from cows. It's not from animals. And it's just absolutely insane. In fact, the truth is that when you have the natural fertilization that takes place by pasturing animals, and you have less desertification, what they call desert situations in the world, and you have a better economy. And what happens is in pastures, you have a sequestering of carbon in the soil. Whereas agriculture, by the way, in terms of the reality of nitrogen, in fact, you even mentioned this earlier, massive agricultural, of these fossil fuels used in agriculture, produces an immense methane gas, which is very much not natural, very much not what's normally present in nature. And so the methane gas, if you look at it, is really coming from the process of these so-called fertilizers and all the chemicals that they're using, like the glyphosate and all these other horrific chemicals that are putting insecticides in our bones and in our blood system and in our cells. So, I mean, the whole thing is just absolutely insane. And we need to eat what our ancestors eat. Meat is not bad. It's not unhealthy. It is healthy, and we've had these massive chronic diseases like heart disease, like diabetes, like cancer, which has increased exponentially because we can look at the autopsies from the main hospitals in Toronto or Boston, Massachusetts, or Chicago, or London, and we know that people they knew what all the cancers were. They weren't dying of cancer at the same rates, around 25% today. They weren't dying of heart disease or heart attacks. In fact, they did autopsies of everybody who died in hospitals. And we have massive more heart disease, and yet we've eaten massive less meat. The truth is that meat and dairy overwhelmingly are healthy things. What's unhealthy are these processed foods, the massive carbs that we eat today, the sugar we eat today, and more importantly is the seed oils, which completely destroy the metabolic system that we have. I mean, that's a little bit of science. I'm a doctor of history, not of medicine, but I do read a lot about biology, and I also endorse the racial theory of history, the biological theory of history, that people make cultures, people make nations, not the other way around, that we're not a proposition nation. What we are is a people, and from certain people come certain motivations and values. And certain principles and certain ways of life that lead to successful nations or unsuccessful ones, that lead to crime or law-abiding nations, that lead to human rights or lead to destruction of human rights. And I believe that is the common denominator of life and nations and history.
You know, there's a very interesting thing going on in the past little while. They have tried to scare people to death with the idea of global warming. Well, actually, man caused global warming. The fact that the Earth may not be warming at all, there's a fascinating study being done of the ice cap in Greenland, where the scientists are able to bore right down to the rock, and they bring up these cores and they of ice, and they melt them, and they're able to learn an awful lot. And what they found out is that actually, through much of the past 10,000 years, the Earth was warmer than it is today. In fact, we are coming out of a mini ice age, and we might be going into another one. If anything, we should be worried about falling temperatures. But the scare tactic, you know, that if we don't, you know, practically go back to bicycles and rickshaws, the Earth could increase in temperature by 2.5 degrees by the end of the century. Well, let's assume that's true. So what? In fact, in much of my country, we'd be able to grow more food. Parts of the prairies are not viable right now with present technology for growing wheat. Increase the temperature a little bit, yes. So rising temperatures are not necessarily a disaster, but the real kicker is man has nothing to do with it. Temperatures rise or fall because of explosions on the sun called sunspots,
I just wanted to say something very, very quickly, and pardon the interruption, but you're onto something very big here. I mean, of course, the media. Diversity is our greatest strength. All men are equal. Bruce Jenner's a woman. Climate change is going to burn us all up. But I was having lunch about a year ago, year or two ago now. I don't, you know, again, it all blurs. But with Virginia Abernathy at her home, and she went into a very long explanation about how this is a very normal cycle of the sun, that the sunspots are dissipating, and this was Dr. Abernathy's opinion. We are going to be entering into an age of global cooling. So I just wanted to share with you and with David that there's another very learned lady who is in agreement with your position on this.
Discussion, you know, on this and good scientific research on different sides. And there's some scientists that I think are sincere. They believe in global warming. And many other scientists that are very sincere that don't believe in the global warming that they represent. And all of these things are certainly that they certainly should be allowed to debate it scientifically and debate it, but they're not being allowed. So the critical thing is the media control, this global Zionist control over our media that don't allow free speech scientifically or historically on any issue. And that's not only a question for farming and animal husbandry and our diet and nutrition, but it's a subject for every other right. The immigration is destroying us. It's about the banking robbery of this world and our people, because we really have a control. We have an oligarchy that rules us. By the way, before I run out of time, I need to tell you, I just did a show today on how the Jewish globalists and the Jewish media is basically defining every term now in a way that's biased against us. For instance, the way they define communism, the way they define so-called fascism, the way they define racism, the way they define even sex today is insane, right? So one thing I talked about was, to give a good example, is just take the term fascism. Now, you always hear how fascism is basically statism or state-controlled corporations that rule over everybody. In fact, the way that fascism was defined, right in the dictionaries in Canada and America and around the world in the 1930s, was a movement toward conservatism and nationalism as compared to internationalism and communism. That's how they define fascism. But today they define fascism as corporate control. And the corporate control today and the Jewish money banking control and corporate control, that is really the way you would define fascism by today's definition. But the fact is the Germans and the Italians and the Spanish, like Franco, every one of them said, we believe in free enterprise, we believe in private property, but we also believe that these major, big, giant corporations have no right to poison the people by putting poisonous stuff into the food. They have no right to rob people, steal from people, and that the nation and the people have to be in the benefit of their own people and good things, not in the interest of this international capital or this Jewish capital, but really have the real supremacy of the world today.
Paul, a final word to you.
When some well-meaning friends of ours in the end of lockdown movement talk about the fascist government. Whatever else is Justin Trudeau is, he's not a fascist. Too bad he isn't.
He's not a fascist, because fascists are nationalists anyway. These people aren't nationalists, you know? You're right. Go ahead.
Well, we're flat out of time, guys. I'll tell you, we're going to do more of this. I have enjoyed this. I think the audience will enjoy this, having mainstay guests and pairing them up randomly. But for good purpose, I think is something we'll continue to develop here. But for our entire staff and crew and for our guests tonight, Paul Angel with the Barnes Review, Ramsey Paul, Paul Fromm, and, of course, David Duke. I'm James Edwards. Great to have you both on the show tonight. Really enjoyed it. We'll talk to everybody next week. Godspeed.